Hello, everyone. I'm David Kelleher, and this is a Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We are in Studio Q at North Campus today on May 5th, 2025. On today's show, my guests are Jake Vitale, JD Ortiz,
hey guys,
and Roman Harrison.
Hello.
So let's get started. So the baseball team just wrapped up their regular season this past weekend, facing Truman off of a sweep. So I'm a transfer, and Jake transferred in here, so did JD and everything like that. But you guys have been here longer. So what, after this season, after it's played out and everything, what have y'all taken out of it? Like, what have y'all seen from this team, and where is it? Like, how is it going to shape us going into conference?
Let's hear from the non-transfer first, Roman Harrison.
I think it's huge to have momentum going into the tournament. My freshman year, there was no period of time where we didn't have momentum necessarily, but last year, you know, we got hot at the right time, and it carried us to the conference championship. So it's really big to have momentum at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think something that Shiz said that I really agree with is that we've gone through a lot of adversity since we've been going this year. So we've gone through ups, downs, all around, just been all over the place with the team. We've, you know, struggled on and off the field, and I think we've just gone through so much that come playoffs, I think we're finally going to be able to put it together and fight through adversity, because that's what playoffs is. So I'm really excited to see how we do and how we fight together and compete as a team.
Yeah, I totally agree. The one thing that I've noticed, like, about our team is, despite, like, being the ups or the downs, we've won a lot of really, like, tight ball games at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, really tight in the last three innings. You know, we're down three, or, like, we've had a few walk-offs. We've had a bunch of, like, really cool wins, and we've also had tough losses in those, like, same scenarios. So we know how it feels to be a part of, you know, on the receiving end of a tough loss, but we also know how exciting it is to, you know, fight all the way until your last out and, you know, put up a good swing or, you know, do the job and win it. So I agree, having momentum is just, like, the best thing we could have going into this tournament. And, I mean, last year it was really fun. We had two walk-offs in a 10-inning game or whatever. So hopefully
– 11.
Yeah, it might have been 11.
Yeah,
JD almost died on that.
Roman was just pitching, yeah.
So, JD, I got a question for you. You're the oldest one here. What advice do you have to younger guys and guys that have never played, like, in a conference championship game? Like, what advice do you have to them going into this tournament?
Advice for, like, conference playoffs, just stuff like that in general? I would say what Jay can attest is just lay it all on the line. It's win or die, win or go home, essentially. And that's where I was last year. I mean, your body may be hurting you. May not be feeling the best. You may not be swinging the best. You just got to lay it all on the line. You know, it's at this point, that's all it is, because you've practiced the skill. You've played a full season of baseball. Only thing that changes is effort, mm-hmm. focus, details, how much intention you have with it. Like I said, it's win or die. So you just have to give everything you have.
Right.
And if it goes your way, that's awesome, because you deserve that, because you put your heart on the line. But if it doesn't, you can walk away knowing that that's what you did, and you're not going to regret anything, because all you can do is just do the best you can.
Right. So, Roman, you were a part of that team that won that 2023 conference championship, right? So you know what it's like to win that tournament. So what does it take for a team to win, like, the conference championship?
It really takes just an enormous amount of grit. You know, we play in a conference that is eight teams make it in the conference tournament. Top to bottom, all eight of those teams could go out and win that tournament. And it's really – it ultimately depends on how much – the team with the most grit is going to win. It's a gauntlet. You have to – I mean, you play four or five games. You really just – you have to out-tough somebody.
So all three of you were a part of the last year's team that lost to Maryville in that championship game. What is it like going into the first game and knowing we're going to face them? Like, that's – you're facing them game one of conference, so how do you – you know, what are the emotions and everything going into that game?
I think facing Maryville game one is the best case scenario for us. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, they beat us in a series and they took a series against us at home, but I mean, game one, if it's a one game set versus them, you know, with the history we have, them beating us in the finals last year, you know, them beating us this year at home and beating us on senior day, like, I feel like we just have the chip on our shoulder that they won't have coming right into game one. And I know that if we come out here and we, you know, looking at our side of the bracket, I would personally say that it's the easier side of the bracket mm-hmm. to make it all the way to the finals. If we come out there and we give everything we have against Maryville game one yeah. and we show people, you know, we're here,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the best case scenario for us to really play them game one. I know I'm super excited.
Right.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that too. I mean, I feel like we all are because we just played them 2 weeks ago. So that momentum and that fire is still within us. If we had played them like first week of the season, it'd be a little different. Obviously, every team you go in with, you know, with everything you have. But I think that, like Jake said, we still have that chip on our shoulder. We just played them and we just lost to them. So now we got to get our get back.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they have a good team, and I think we also have a good team. You know, we still have that bad taste in our mouth from both this series a couple weeks ago, and also from conference championship last year. So I think, you know, we'll come out punching, I think. So
the season didn't go the way we all wanted it to, and we all know it didn't. But what do you think, you know, we could have done differently, or what do you think we could have, you know, what do you think could have changed the outcome of our season, you know, our regular season?
I mean, obviously it didn't go how we wanted to. But there's not really, in my mind, too much that I would change, you know, as an offensive player. I know that, you know, we came up there and we hit, you know, most weekends, most games. It was very rare for us to have, you know, down offensive like day, and right. whenever we did, it just seemed like the pitchers were always there to like, hey, you guys are having a down day, we're gonna pick you up, and then we wouldn't come through, and that's what led to, you know, our 500 record. But
right,
we've had games where the hitters are hitting and the pitchers are pitching, and there's really, you know, nobody in our conference that can beat us whenever we're on like that. So right. whenever it's crunch time, we always kind of find a way, you know. Mm-hmm. Whenever it's extra innings, I mean, how many runs have we given up in extra innings? And we've played a lot of extra innings.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not much. You know, when it's time to bear down, our pitchers have done it.
Right.
So whenever it's the conference tournament, you know, this time of the year, I'm excited to see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think our only problem this year is probably performative. It wasn't, like, effort-based. It wasn't chemistry-based. It was purely performative. So, like, pitching-wise, late in the game, hitting-wise, crucial moments, we just didn't really do it when we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, like, we just performed it. Like, we underperformed when we really needed to perform. And when you leave guys on base or when you let up runs late in the game, you're not going to win a whole lot of ball games. So if we can perform when we need to and bring those moments, make those moments happen during playoffs, we're going to be in a great spot.
Yeah.
Because everything else is good.
Yeah, that's kind of what we haven't done it all the time, but we have had a lot of moments where it's like,
yeah,
wow, we were not supposed to win that one.
Yeah,
and that's exciting to see, at least from my perspective.
Right? Yeah, because we don't give up.
I think when it clicks, you know, when it seems like we had quite a few games this year where, like Jake said, I mean, when the hitters didn't hit, the pitchers, you know, we tended to give up more runs or vice versa. When it seemed like there were times when one was firing really well and mm-hmm. the other one wasn't. And I think that last weekend it clicked where both were firing on all cylinders and both sides, offensive and defensively, played particularly well. So,
yeah, I think our last like month, I mean, I know we played Lewis and we didn't win that series, and we played Maryville and we didn't win that series, but looking at the record and looking at the scores of those games was much different than like watching the game and seeing what was actually going on.
Right.
In that fourth game against Lewis, you know, we had a big inning to start the game. Lewis gave up like 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hitters were like scrapping back. We didn't give up. If it wasn't because of the run rule, I personally believe we come out and win that game. Or like Maryville, we had, you know, back and forth where both, you know, weren't like, we, I don't know. We're tough to beat. I'm just saying, like, we don't really give up. And like Roman said, going into the conference tournament, it takes an enormous amount of grit. Mm-hmm. And I think we've probably been punched in the face more than any team in the conference, really.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So we've had some guys here, you know, face a lot of injuries and stuff throughout their career and everything. So what does it take? You know, you just played 50 games. So, like, what does it take to keep your body healthy and keep it going, ready to go for, you know, at least another two, potentially four more games?
For me, it's sleep. I always try to make sure that after a game, I try to wind down as best as I can. I try to get, like, super tired as soon as I can after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I just I try to get to sleep at a good time, and I just wake up on my own. I know that whenever my body wakes me up, that's probably when I'm best, and I just get up and go eat. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Rome?
My recovery process is a little different than other people. I usually eat fried chicken, and then I go to sleep. but I agree that sleep is so important to the recovery of the human body, and that's really the most important thing for recovering from games is getting a good night's sleep. And it's this late in the season. I mean, everybody's got their own little ailments and whatnot, but you know, like battling through those things can sometimes, you know, be the difference between winning or losing a ball game.
100%.
Yeah, I think sleep is obviously huge. Recovery as far as eating the right foods at the right times. Like, I'm an exercise science major, so I'm big on making sure you get carbs and protein immediately after a workout or a strenuous exercise. And then as well as, like, recovering, moving your body, stretching, rolling out, stuff like that. Like, I'm going to go – our weight room's down today, but I'm going to go do something because movement is medicine. So even if you're not feeling great, believe it or not, moving the stuff that you're not feeling, like doing a workout on it, is going to make it recover better than just nothing or even just stretching.
So we're getting ready to go play at the Thrillvillies Stadium. Is that correct, Roman?
Yeah, Mountain Dew Park.
Yeah. So as as me being someone who has not been in a playoff atmosphere since I was a senior in high school, what can I expect? You know, like, what is the atmosphere going to be like? What are the noise levels going to be like? What's the environment going to be like playing at that stadium? Because when I played my last, you know, playoff game or last time I was in playoffs, we had 7,000 people at Truist Park, the Braves Stadium. So, like, I was in a pretty big atmosphere for what I thought. So what is the expectations going into this?
Well, you're not going to have 7,000 fans.
Yeah, there's going to be, like, 45,000.
It's going to be, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 30, 40, 50 fans. It's mainly just, like, players and families because it's at a different park. So it's, like, it's neutral. No one's really from there. The main difference in intensity is within the teams. Like, you can just tell there's like a ferocity between the two teams. We had a game against Indy last year and none of us were going to quit. Like, it was just insane. It was back and forth. The chirping is loud, the aggression, the intensity, it's all there. And it really, I feel like it's going to be game one. It's going to be us against Maryville. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, the one thing that I liked is that normally there's other teams there in the, like, stands watching the other teams play. Yeah. And since we got game one, we're going to have quite a few of the other teams playing. And I can guarantee you that they'd probably rather see Maryville than us late in the season. And like JD said, you know, it's not a ton of fans. I think it's more than 50. Maybe it's about 100, 150.
I'm saying, like, pure fans, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just random
people coming
to watch.
But the people there, you know, there ends up being a decent crowd there in the lower level.
And there's, you know, the stands in the stadium. Mm-hmm. Just makes it a little louder, you know. You can hear the parents talking. Yep. You can hear whenever they're telling the umpire that was a terrible call. And for me personally, I'm an outfielder, so I hope I get to play right field because the bullpens are out there. And last year, a lot of the bullpens were, like, talking. You know, they'd be in your ear while you're playing. You know, I was – started, like, the UND game, like, 0-2. Mm-hmm. They're out there just telling me how bad I was. I was like, yeah, I hope I get to see you, buddy.
And the bullpens chirp each other because the only dividing wall is there's a
chain link fence
is the only thing that divides the two. So the atmosphere is good, and I think it's about one of the most competitive conferences in Division II baseball in terms of just top to bottom, like I said. So I think that the animosity we have for each other is pretty high. So I think that it'll you know, be a good atmosphere.
So going into this conference championship and everything, or playoffs, how big of a factor do emotions play? Like, can you allow yourself to, you know, get a little bit bigger in the moment, or, you know, just stay even keel?
Yeah, emotions can definitely get to you. Last year, whenever after the UND game, me and JD, we both dove for a ball and collided, and I messed up my wrist pretty bad, and
that messed up my head.
Yeah, and the next day we were facing William Jewell, and I was like, you know, I let my emotions take over a little bit, and I probably should have sat that game, but I didn't. And then I had a big at bat, and I let it get the best of me. Mm-hmm. Luckily, you know, Austin Simpson saved me and hit a walk-off grand slam. But I know for sure that emotions definitely run high. You got to just, I don't know, you got to kind of not care, but right. Care at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, you got to know who you are, because some people, you know, they thrive under pressure. They love it. They absolutely love it. Like me, I love it. But also sometimes some people, it's just too much, you know what I'm saying? So you kind of just have to block it out. Mm-hmm. Depends on who you are. If you're someone that where it kind of can get the best of you, block it out, treat it like any other moment. If you're someone who can understand the gravity and how important this is, and you love that and you just want it even more, that doesn't mean you try to do too much. It just means you focus more. You lock in, you have more effort. You care more about the details and the focus. Like, it's as long as you're doing more of that, more of the little things, then you're going to be perfectly fine. If you're trying to do too many of the big things and make stuff happen, force stuff to happen, that's not ever going to work in your favor, especially with baseball, how hard baseball is on its own.
Yeah, I'm when I'm throwing, I'm a pretty emotional guy. You know, I get kind of into the moment, and I feed off of the energy of the moment. So, you know, it different strokes. I agree that, you know, you can't let the moment get too big. It's still just baseball. You know, it's still a batter in the box, and although it's the conference tournament and your whole season depends on this game, you can't focus on that too much. You just have to focus on each pitch. You just have to really dedicate yourself to each individual pitch of the game rather than looking at it in a wider scope.
So, Roman, you were a reliever your first 2 years, correct?
Yes.
So this year you're now a starter. So how does the mindset and everything change going into conference, knowing that you're going to start a game rather than relieve a game?
Well, really, I try not to distinguish too much between starting and relieving. I kind of try and treat my starts as relief appearances. I get ready as late as possible and start throwing. And but it is a little bit different. You know, I'm focusing on one particular game instead of rolling into game one, knowing I could potentially throw this game. But I think ultimately my mindset's about the same. I just am kind of just gonna, you know, you have to stay locked in, period. So locking in for the for a start is it's different, but I try not to treat it too differently.
Gotcha. Well, thank you to my guests, Jake Vitale, JD Ortiz, and Roman Harrison. Thank you for listening to Hawk Talk. I'm David Kelleher, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.